thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
So Lord, again, here we are to ask for your blessing on the proclamation of your word and its application to our lives and our hearts, that we would grow in heart health increasingly so. I pray, may it be so in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray together. Amen. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to jump right into our message, habit number 4 of a growing faith in our series, Healthy Heart. And the title of today's message is this, a heart hungry, and here's the discipline, fasting, a heart hungry fasting. So right away, I want us to get a definition of fasting, and here it is. I'm going to define it for you. Fasting is allowing physical hunger in order to increase spiritual hunger, okay? Very simple. Fasting is allowing physical hunger in order to increase a spiritual hunger. And the idea here, in keeping with the theme of our series, is that our hearts are hungering after many different things in this life. And the healthy heart is a heart that's growing in hunger and thirst for the things of God. But the reality is, if we're honest with ourselves, if we look at our hearts are often hungry for other things. Our affections are easily captivated. Our minds are quickly filled. Our behavior is so subtly formed by so many other things other than the Lord, Jesus Christ. And so we commit ourselves to Bible intake. We went through what that means and the importance of that. We slow ourselves down to meditate on God's word. So important to do that. We discipline our lives to approach the throne of grace boldly in prayer. But there's yet another powerful and underutilized tool and discipline in the toolbox of the Christian life. It is a fasting. Fasting. By allowing our bodies to hunger physically, we heighten our awareness of our hunger spiritually. And in doing so, we create moments in our lives, moments in our days, moments where our hearts can stop and consider just how much we need God. And we infuse those moments with deep longings, with yearnings, with hunger, with thirst, with prayer for more of God in our lives. The healthy heart, loved ones, is a hungry heart. A hungry heart for more of God in our lives. So I want you to take your Bibles now and go with me right away to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18 is where we're going to be. And what I'm going to do today in the time that we have is I'm going to just ground us in this passage of Scripture, and then we're going to launch out and look at a number of other passages of Scripture. So Matthew chapter 6, 16 to 18, in Christ's Sermon on the Mount, this is what it says. Jesus says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others." He says, "Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Okay, we're going to be grounded in this text really quickly. Point number one is this. Biblical fasting, right away from our text, we need to see this. Biblical fasting is a matter of when, not if. Okay? Biblical fasting is a matter of when, not if. I'll show you what I mean. And notice verse 16. Jesus says, and when you fast, let's stop right here. I want you to notice that Jesus says, when you fast. He doesn't say, if you fast. He doesn't say, if you get around to it, if you find its place in your Christian journey. No, Jesus says, when you fast, not if. Why is that important? Well, it's important because there's actually only one place in Scripture where fasting is commanded. That's in Leviticus 16, 29. Everywhere else, fasting is assumed. It's expected. It's commanded once in all the Bible. So interesting. But from that point on, from Leviticus 16:29, everywhere else we see fasting, it is assumed that the people of God will fast. It is, in fact, expected that the followers of Jesus Christ will fast. And so when Jesus begins his teaching by saying, when you fast, it's really important insight to grasp here. He is assuming and expecting that his followers will indeed take up this discipline of fasting. Now, because food is so essential for life, and because all of us love food, all kinds of different foods, many of us find it too easy to escape the expectation that fasting is in fact a crucial part of the Christian life. But I want you to consider this before we go on. I want you to consider this. Could it be that in our escaping the practice or the discipline of fasting, we are also revealing something about what we truly love and value? Could it be that? That we find it easy to escape the discipline of fat. I mean, we love to eat. We love all kinds of different foods. We need to eat for life. But remember what Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, could it be that we find it so easy to escape the discipline of fasting because we love food so much? But in doing so, we're in fact saying something about what really matters to us, that perhaps we matter most to us, that perhaps our stomachs matter most to us. We see how we get when we get hungry, right? We see how quickly we'll drop things to get to where the food is. Could it be that our escaping the discipline of fasting is saying something also about the things that we love, ourselves, our stomachs, that we love our own pleasures? But also, could it be that escaping the discipline of fasting also reveals that we have never really learned what it means to hunger for God, to enjoy God, to find pleasure in God, to be satisfied in God? Consider that. Now, David Mathis said, if we are awakened to see fasting for the joy it can bring as a means of God's grace to strengthen and sharpen Godward affections, then we might find ourselves holding a powerful new tool for enriching our enjoyment in Jesus. Now, could it be that maybe by the end of our time together, that could it be that we just might find ourselves holding in our hands a neglected tool, a neglected discipline that will lead us to enjoyment in Jesus Christ, to hungering and thirsting more for Jesus Christ, to then finding our souls satisfied in Jesus Christ? I believe it will. Now, biblical fasting, it's a matter of when, not if. So be challenged by that, that Jesus, when he teaches here in the Sermon on the Mount, he's assuming and expecting that his followers will fast, that we will embrace the discipline of fasting. Biblical fasting is a matter of when, not if. Secondly, biblical fasting is a matter of, you can write this down if you have a pen, it's a matter of humility, not hypocrisy. It's a matter of humility, not hypocrisy, that fasting is not an end in and of itself, okay? Once you notice the text, verses 16 to 18, Jesus says, and when you fast, here it is, he says, do not look gloomy like what? Like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you fast, that's emphatic, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So we know already that Jesus' point here, his concern here, is not whether or not his followers will fast. He's assuming that his followers fast. He's expecting that they will fast. But his concern in this passage is not whether or not they will fast. His concern is how they will fast. Will they fast hypocritically or will they fast with humility? That's Christ's concern here. Jesus, once again, is looking to the heart. He's looking at our hearts. When you fast, he says, don't be like the hypocrites who want everyone to see what they're doing. No, when you fast, do it in secret when no one sees. And your Father, God, who is in secret, will see and he will reward you. What Jesus is highlighting here is that there is no spiritual benefit in simply abstaining from food in and of itself. There's no benefit. There's a number of world religions that have embraced fasting, and they think that there is a benefit in simply abstaining from food in the external outward conformity to the rule or to the law. But Jesus is showing us there's no benefit to just abstaining from food. And certainly there's no benefit to fasting, abstaining from food in order that others would see you. No, Jesus is saying that's hypocritical. That's awful. No, the reward and the benefit of fasting, listen, is in the humble desire of the heart. The reward and benefit of fasting is in the humble desire of the heart to be seen by God. The reward and benefit of fasting is in the humble desire of the heart to be known by God, to be filled by God, to be satisfied in God, in secret. That is the benefit. The humble heart comes to God in fasting for no one to see but God. And they want God to fill the hunger and the thirst of the heart. R.C. Sproul wrote this. He wrote, God rewards fasting because fasting expresses the heart, the cry of the heart that nothing on the earth can satisfy our souls besides God. The practice never obligates the Lord to respond to our prayer precisely as we have asked. Nevertheless, God is pleased when we put ourselves in a more helpless state by foregoing food because it displays how we are aware of our need for his grace at every stage in our lives. Loved ones, at its core, a healthy heart is a hungry heart. A healthy heart is a heart that is growing and positioning itself such that it can grow and increase in awareness of need, an awareness of our need for his grace upon our lives and more of him. So in the time that we have, loved ones, I want to show us exactly when should we fast then? Does the Bible say anything about how and when we should fast? It says a number of things, and we're going to launch into a number of different texts right now in the time that we have. So when exactly is it appropriate and benefit and biblical to fast? Here are a few thoughts. Number one, when I'm suffering. When I'm suffering, that's a good time to fast. The Bible tells us that King David fasted when he was grieving and sorrowful over the death of Abner. You see it in 2 Samuel 3:35. And the king lamented for Abner, and all the people wept again over him. Then all the people came to persuade David to eat bread while it was yet day. But David swore, saying, God, do so to me, and more also, if I taste bread or anything else until the sun goes down. And so, in a time of suffering, there's many more passages that show this, I just don't have enough time. In a time of suffering, David fasted and found all that his heart needed and the perspective he needed in fasting and in the Lord. So here's a question. What's your response when you're suffering or when you're grieving or when you are sorrowful? Is it a doubt? We doubt God. Is it blame? That we blame other people for our suffering? What if there was a way to elevate our perspective uniquely in the midst of immense suffering and grief in our lives? What if the Bible is presented to us an avenue when we are enduring grief or sorrow or hardship of all kinds? What if there was a way that we could come to God and have our perspective elevated? I'm telling you, there is a way. It's through fasting. It's appropriate to fast when I'm suffering. Secondly, it's appropriate to fast when I'm in danger, In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 2, King Jehoshaphat declared a national fast in Judah when the Moabites and the Ammonites threatened them and threatened to attack them. And in that text, from a human perspective, they couldn't win, and they cried out to God for protection and help through prayer and fasting. It says, then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Loved ones, there's a lot of danger in our world. There's a lot of things that we are afraid of in our world. How do we respond? We bite our nails, don't we? We talk a lot about it on social media. We default to self-preservation. But how about agreeing with the psalmist who says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. How do we do that? One way is through fasting. We allow physical hunger to heighten our awareness of our spiritual need and to create a spiritual hunger when we are in danger. Thirdly, it's appropriate to fast not only when I'm suffering, when I'm in danger. Thirdly, when I'm mourning over sin. When I'm mourning over sin. In Daniel 9, verse 3, Daniel fasted as he prayed to God to forgive the sins of the people. In Ezra 10, verse 6, Ezra mourned and fasted as he confessed the sins of the people of Israel. And there are many times in our lives where we are grieved over our sin. Maybe we're caught in a pattern of sin. Maybe we're stuck in a pattern of behavior and sin. And sometimes we feel in our Christian lives, we don't know what else to do. What about fasting? The Bible commends to us prayer and fasting as a powerful way to mourn over sin and move towards God in dependence and therefore position ourselves to have more grace upon our lives to overcome sin and to mourn rightfully over our sin. So it's appropriate to fast when I'm suffering, when I'm in danger, when I'm mourning over sin. Fourthly, it's appropriate to fast when I'm powerfully convicted by God's word. John MacArthur said, we often fail to understand God's word as fully as we ought, simply because unlike those great people of God, we do not seek to comprehend it with their degree of intensity and determination. He says, skipping a few meals might be the small price we willingly pay for staying in the word until understanding comes. Again, in Daniel 9, Daniel turned his attention to God through fasting. when he heard the word of God through the prophet Jeremiah about the 70 years desolation of Jerusalem. And you know what I found in my life, loved ones, and maybe you found this too, that maybe you've heard a message or maybe you've read something in your devotions or maybe you've heard something on a podcast that's powerfully convicted you. And you go to your friends and you talk about it, and that's good. Do that. Discuss it. And we go to our pastors and we try to get more understanding into it. That's good. Keep doing that. But we don't go to God. We don't go to God and say, God, you've spoken to me. I want more understanding. And I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray that you would illuminate the pages of your word, the word that you've given to me that's convicted me and challenged me. I'm going to fast and pray that you would give me a greater understanding of your word. I wonder if we made it a practice in our church to do that. We hear the word of God preached, or we're reading the word of God together in our small groups, or in a prayer meeting, or wherever we are, and we make it a point to take this word of God so seriously that what God has spoken to me means something more than just a passing moment of conviction, but something to transform my life forever, that we would fast and pray and consider what God would say to us and how God would elaborate and expand his word into our lives. It's appropriate to fast when I'm suffering, when I'm in danger, when I'm mourning over sin, when I'm powerfully convicted by God's word. Finally, it's appropriate to fast when I'm beginning an important task or ministry. When I'm beginning an important task or ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible tells us that Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights before he began his public preaching ministry. In Acts chapter 13, verse 3, the church at Antioch fasted before and after sending out Saul and Barnabas for a special ministry. Why? Why? Because there was a sense that they couldn't be alone in this. There was a sense that they needed supernatural strength and power and wisdom in this task and ministry. There was a sense that they needed God to go before them. There was a sense that they needed to be emptied completely of themselves and filled totally with a hunger for God. There was a sense that they needed an intervention from God. Loved ones, the more I reflect on fasting in the scriptures, even this week, even as I'm proclaiming this to you today, the more I reflect on the scriptures and the spiritual power and benefits of fasting, the more I wonder to myself, why do we not do it? Why do we not talk about it? Why do we not rally together to fast and pray for all these number of reasons and purposes, as just mentioned? We should. Jesus says, when you fast, not if you fast, because he assumes and expects that his people will. Now, in September of 1989, Dr. Lundquist, president of Bethel Theological Seminary, told this story of how he first began to take fasting seriously. I'm just going to close with this. He said, my own serious consideration of fasting as a spiritual discipline began as a result of visiting Dr. Joon-gon Kim in Seoul, Korea. Is it true, I asked him, that you spent 40 days in fasting prior to the evangelism crusade in 1980? Yes, he responded, it's true. Dr. Kim was chairman of the crusade, expected to bring 1 million people. But 6 months before the meeting, the police informed him that they were revoking their permission for the crusade. Korea at that time was in political turmoil, and Seoul was under martial law. The officers decided they could not take the risk of having so many people together in one place. So Dr. Kim and some others went to a mountain to pray. And there they spent 40 days before God in prayer and fasting for the crusade. Then they returned and made their way to the police station. Oh, said the officer when he saw Dr. Kim, we've changed our mind and you can have your meeting. And Dr. Lundquist went on, as I went back to the hotel, I reflected But I had never fasted like that. Perhaps, he says, I had never desired a work of God with the same intensity. Dr. Kim's body is marked by many 40-day fasts during his long spiritual leadership of God's work in Asia. And there are many, many more throughout the pages of the Bible and throughout history whose bodies are marked by the sacrifice of the discipline of fasting, such that they could hunger for God and desire God and want God and desire with such intensity that God would do something in their lives and amongst them in their lifetime and in their ministry and in their cities and in their countries. Loved ones, here's my question for us as a church. Is there anyone among us, myself included, is there anyone among us who desires to see a work of God in our city with such intensity? Is there anyone among us who loves God more than we love our own lives? Is there anyone among us who will forego eating for moments, for a meal, for two, for a day, for a few days, for many days? Because we need God and we hunger and thirst for God. One of the keys to so much of what God wants to do just may be the forgotten discipline of fasting. It just may be that what God wants to do in our lives is brought in through fasting. It just may be that a work that God wants to do in our church will make its way through fasting. It just may be that what God wants to do in our city can break through people who love not their lives more than they love God. Let's be challenged. This forgotten and neglected discipline, it need not be neglected anymore. Let's pray that God would work this discipline into our hearts and lives, and a desire and a hunger to see God do the things that only He can do in every season of our journey in our church and the days we're living. Let's pray together. Father, we ask You in the name of Jesus Christ to hear us now and to work in us, to form in us such a deep and intense desire and longing for You to work in us and for You to work through us and for You to fill us. Lord, forgive us for hungering after so many other things that have captivated our affections and shaped our thinking and driven our actions and taken our hearts where You don't want them to go. Oh Lord, I pray that our church is full of healthy hearts, hearts that are hungry and thirsty and filled and satisfied. You said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. May it be so in our lives and in our church, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.